Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
The views expressed on AM 360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
Just show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those who course is not wrath, nor those who go astray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, I openly bear witness that there is but one God, the only creator of the heavens and earth, and Lord of all systems of knowledge, whom we properly call Allah. I accept all of Allah's prophets and believe that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the seal of prophethood and a mercy to all mankind. Assalamu alaikum, dear family. I welcome you to another study al-Islam. It is so nice to see all of you. The topic today is aging, acupuncture and steroids, and natural herbs. And Dr. Cambridge is our brother, Raul Cambridge, is our herbalist. But before we welcome Brother Raul, I just want to say, please take advantage of this opportunity. This is a very rare opportunity for us to have someone whose family have been who's astute in natural herbs. So get your questions ready. You can raise your hand to ask your question, or you can put your question in chat. But we want to deal with aching and aging. And I'm the first one on the list to ask the question about how to get rid of aching. So welcome. Welcome, Brother Raul. Welcome. Take yourself off of mute.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. There's a message somewhere on the screen. I don't know if this can be removed.
You're fine. Brother Raul, you're fine. So you can just tell us a little bit about yourself before we get started, because your bio is not in the newsletter.
Sure. Well, my name is Raul Cambridge. I am from the Twin Islands of Trinidad and Tobago. For those who know it geographically, it's the most southern of all the Caribbean islands. We lie just about 12 nautical miles off of Venezuela in South America. Although, because of our colonial history, most of us are English-speaking rather than Spanish-speaking. Also, because of the, at the end of the slave trade, they brought indentured workers from India. So some people may still speak a bit of Hindi, but basically, we all speak English. Like I said, I grew up with two grandmothers, and this is very pertinent to my life and how it developed later on. I didn't know it at the time. Two grandmothers, they lived side, almost side by side. There was about 3/4 of an acre of land between both houses. And I traversed from one to the next continually. What was important in growing up is the fact that in those days, the access to medicine, doctors, and stuff like that was not as it is presently. I still remember things like the midwife coming to deliver, my cousins and others' family at times, and the scurry of activities, the boiling of water, cry for pain, and then eventually that cry of the newborn child coming into the world. That was something that we took for granted. Growing up with my two grandmothers, one of the things that I became aware of and helped out with was what we call bush medicine, which today is being referred to as herbal medicine. So things like colds, fevers, different pain, being unable to sleep, various things like that. People didn't go and seek medical advice. We knew which of the herbs to go and get. It came to a point where I was about 7, 8, familiar with it, and my grandmother would send me, they call me Junior. They say, Junior, go and get some shining bush, or go and get some chandelier bush. That is one that we use for colds. You take the leaf, you pong it, you add a little bit of salt to it, you ingest that, and you would bring up so much cold. It's unbelievable. Someone's coming down with the fever. They say, go and get us some fever grass. I know exactly what they were speaking of and would go and retrieve it and bring it and stuff like that. Some baby's not able to sleep. You go and you get what we call soursop leaf. Pick the soursop leaf, you make a concoction from it, and you apply it to them, and they sleep gently and beautifully, and on and on and on. What I found out later on is that a lot of these herbs I am suggesting probably was brought with us from Africa, because although they, after a while it just grew plentiful and around, further studies now, many of it was applied for women issues, whether it was the menstrual issues, the various complicated menstrual issues that women are faced with, whether it was with childbirth or whatever. Many of these, what we call bush medicine or herbal medicine now, so whether it was on the benefit of the slave masters or the slaves themselves, a lot of it grew abundantly in the island of Trinidad and Tobago, tropical island that afforded us real support for everything we needed for our life. For me, later on in life, I practiced yoga, taught yoga for close to 20 years. Also, I was involved in the martial arts for as much as or longer than the 20 years. Luckily for me also, coming out from what we call the East Indian side of the history, there were people who were versed in helping people with dislocation, problems with tendons and ligaments, and a lot of them were of Indian descent. There were no schools for this. And usually, you would say the common term was someone had a gift. And they had this ability to help correct, as I say, dislocations and stuff. I was fortunate time with one such person. He was called Doc Ali Bokas. They gave him that honor of almost being a doctor. There was nothing you came to him for that he didn't have a way to assist and help. So even when I did start going to school for Chinese medicine, a lot of the students and even the teachers would ask me, but where you learned that from? Well, I learned it by hanging around, being around. And I'll be honest, that's one regret. I could have spent more time, but being a young person, growing up, doing all kind of other activities in life, it's only later on I realized the wealth of knowledge that was being passed on. It wasn't like an apprenticeship where you had to go. It was based on my free time and how I applied my time. So it really part of my foundation for later on when I did get into the study of traditional Chinese medicine and acupuncture and herbal medicines. In a nutshell, from way back in the 70s, between Doc Ali Bokas and myself, we both got interested in looking at the Eastern healing methods, especially acupuncture. And I bought books on it. We attempted to get needles, but that didn't work out. Not until I came to America, came to Chicago, as a matter of fact. And at the time, I was thinking of furthering my field as an instrumentation technician and going into a further engineering degree. And lo and behold, I came across the Midwest Center for Traditional Chinese Medicine. And that changed my trajectory. It changed my life to a great deal. I was able to attend school. I graduated and sat the board in 1990. I immediately got into practice with two of my teachers at the time. It was in the height of the AIDS epidemic. They had established a non-traditional way of treating people with AIDS using traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture, and herbs, totally outside of the mainstream of what was going on at the time. And for whatever it was, they chose me in the school. They asked me to come and work with them in the clinic. And I did. And immediately, what was surprising to me, from the very first day, they say, Raul, you're not here to look on. You're here to treat people. So don't be afraid. Go and do it. And that is what I've been doing for the past 2 to 3 years. I have been invited to Muhammad to speak in terms of, I'm not looking at it as a major lecture per se. I will use the East Indian term of a satsang, meaning that you sit down and we just discuss. I put out ideas, approaches to things that face us in life. and we, as best we could. The topic I was asked to say something on and discuss my views on is about steroids, aging, its application in terms of pain management, and alternatives that is there for us to use. Well, to begin with, when I was asked about that, the first question that came up to my mind is, what is aging? What is considered aging? Is it the chronological approach that we have adopted? What is it? Is it the approach that says, okay, you're born a baby, you considered of growing up from 1 to 12, 14, and I'm using those in terms of the female of the species, at which point the cycle of reproduction can take place. And this is according to the tenets of traditional Chinese medicine. For male, it's on an eight-year cycle, so 16 or so, when males are capable of producing young males of young babies and stuff like that, which continues up to 28 to 35, in which for the female, changes take place in terms of the reproductive cycle beginning to slow down until into the age of 40 and so on until we start to say middle age. And then after that, I guess, we start to, in chronological order, look at it differently as aging. Which of those is really aging? In that respect, let me see. I will take the idea of the steroids first. So the application of steroids, both corticosteroids, which can be in a cream, or the steroid as an injection, which is used mainly for pain and inflammation of the joints, for arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, certain type of bowel inflammation, etc. Those are very debilitating experiences, and pain is something that we all look for immediate responses and immediate removal of that pain. The thing with steroids, and I speak to most of the people that I interact with in terms of it, I caution them, it's a caution, that the steroids work for short periods of time. The doctors may say for 6 weeks to 6 months. Invariably, most people would say that after a steroid injection for a particular pain or discomfort, in a very short time, the pain is back. Importantly, what we have to understand is that controlling of a symptom is not actually taking care of the underlying condition. The underlying condition remains until we find a way to take care of what the underlying condition is. What is the underlying condition that is causing the inflammation of the joints? If we seek early enough remedies, it's helpful. Most of us are too busy doing many things. We only pay attention when it becomes very chronic. So the 6 weeks to 6 months in terms of the steroid doesn't work because steroids bring with it the deterioration of bones, the deterioration of ligaments, the deterioration tendons. And as those who have used steroids know, they can only give you a certain amount of steroid injections or whatever it is for a period of time. It's not something you could use continually because of the effect and the destruction of the tissue, the fascia, the bones, etc., that it brings to it. So it is not something we should take lightly. It's not something, while it may help in the short term, it is something we must seriously think about in terms of what are the alternatives that we have. That is as much as I would say with the steroids. The good part of it, short-term relief. Bad part of it, long-term destruction of the bone, the tendons, and other aspects of your body. Aging. What is aging? It's interesting because in life we look around and, you know, we speak about it commonly. We make a joke about it from time to time. You meet someone, they may be in their 20s and 30s, and you see, boy, this person acting older. They're old for the age. And, you know, we make a joke about it at times. Then you have others. They're very young, very astute, and clear-minded, and we say, wow, this person is much older for his age. So what really is age? That's a good question. What is age? What is happening presently, though, is that there is a series of life circumstances that may afflict us, not necessarily based on age, but based on lifestyle, based on environment, based on choices that we make. We see an increased amount of obesity. We see an increased amount of diabetes. Up to earlier this morning, just before getting on the program, I got a call from a friend of my own in New York who I've been treating. I treated him for the recovery of COVID, when he not only came close to dying, even when he recovered and the illness continued, he's an engineer and his memory was challenging him, and he became afraid that he couldn't do his job. So he called me, and I was able to help him in terms of the memory and stuff like that. But that apart, he called me this morning because they put him on some new drug for diabetes. And he said, well, he has been going to the bathroom so often, it's unbelievable. I told him, well, call your doctor and tell your doctor about what you've been going through. So another thing is chronic pulmonary disease, what's they call COPD. A lot of people come down with that as a result of asthma, a lot of coughing, smoking, or whatever it is, emphysema, bronchitis, arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis. People are having heart diseases at a younger age, circulatory inhibition, not to mention the constant stress of life and living that is taking its toll on us health-wise. And of course, pain. That thing we call pain. These are what I consider debilitating conditions that attack us at any age and continues to be part of what we take into our more elderly age. And it is very discomforting and at times difficult to alleviate and to find adequate treatment for. It's not all doom and gloom, however, because there are ways that we can deal with it and get some kind of relief from time to time. Before I go into the actual stuff, I want to refer, like I said, I spoke about my grandmothers and I grew up with two grandmothers. They worked with one of my grandmothers. The complaint was she never stayed quiet. She was always traveling, always going all over the place. A close friend of mine who died some years ago, unfortunately, Ruth Mamala. I met her around 1996. She was already late 60s, early 70s. And where did I meet Ruth? We were both attending and learning hypnotherapy. We became close friends, and up to when she passed away in her mid-80s, a very vibrant person. I remember when she bought her computer, she went and took computer classes. She was an avid reader, and boy, we had a lot of discussions over a lot of stuff, but not always seeing eye to eye, but always having really beautiful. Also, at one time, had a herbal store here in Chicago. She was into colonics and helped a lot of people in terms of colonics. Like I said, elderly person, let's see, but the lifestyle. There's a gentleman who we lived in the same house, more or less, called Hernandez Villancoats. Mexican guy. He died 6 months short of his 100. What I learned from it was so interesting. He was a World War II veteran, and there was not a day, we call them Gramps, there was not a day I spoke with him that it was not a great day, a good day. I'm telling you, in Chicago here, it could be snow up to your knee outside. Say, Gramps, how are you doing? Great day, good day. Wonderful day. You got from him vivacious kind of way of being alive. And sometimes I thought it was it because of his experience in the Second World War, which he shared with me, that as a sergeant, they were under heavy gunfire from the Germans. He left to go and get ammunition. And when he came back, not one of his squad was alive. And I'm pretty sure that's an experience that he took with him till his dying day. And maybe it's fashioned how he saw life, how he held on to life, how he looked for all the beautiful things about life. And was always, like I say, it didn't matter, spring, summer, autumn, winter, it was always a great day.
Brother Raul?
Yes?
We have about 20 minutes, and I really appreciate those stories that you're sharing with us, because you're right. An appreciation of another day. I always say another day, another chance. I want to know, though, about inflammation, because I do want you to continue to talk about whatever remedies you have, but because I know that there are many people who talk about inflammation and parasites of the body, are there herbs that you would recommend? Is that real? Are parasites real?
Parasites are real. If we're looking at it from a Western medical, they are real.
Mm-hmm.
They are real. Yes. I mean, and this is why the elimination process is so important. What we eat is so important, because it's what we ingest is what give rise to the parasites, right? Although they tell us such thing as the way they raise animals now, some of the older type of supposedly worms and things like that come with these are no longer there, but we cannot vouch for that, because we are not raising the food that we eat. That's one of the things. I mean, everything that I grew up with was what we planted in the land or we grew for ourselves. That has changed fundamentally. People go for the quick food, and that's how it is now. Hardly, I make a joke about it. I say people rent a house or apartment. It comes with a fridge and a stove. And very few people who I know how to cook. I don't understand it. And cooking your own food is very important in terms of your health, because the love and application, the vibration that you put into your food is very important in your health profile.
And that's interesting, because I just had a conversation with Sister Sakina, who owns Citrus Farms, and we were talking about how I read that romaine lettuce is at the top of the list for E. coli, and she explained to me that the best place to go and buy our vegetables are from the local growers, and
yes,
because it's safer than the commercial. But let me ask you this: is there something that you could recommend that people can generally take in order to rid themselves of parasites?
Well, the question. Well, it's a couple of things. We have it has to be identified.
Okay.
It has to be identified. I know it used to be that at one time, and I haven't done it for quite a while, we had a way of getting the stool sample sent to the Mayo Clinic. And they will do the type of in-depth scientific research on it, and they will tell you exactly what is afflicting you. Other than that, we don't really have a clear, concise way of knowing.
So are you saying to me, and then we have a question, and I do want to ask the questions that are on the line, and please put your questions in chat, because I think asking your questions would help us to become a little more, get a more information of what we need. So are you saying, but you just said, and it's been told to us, and we're learning that most of us are eating food that is that has pesticides, and so you just take for granted that most of us have parasites. And so, Mike, again, I'm going to ask you. Mm-hmm, go ahead.
I don't like to take things for granted.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what. In terms of traditional Chinese medicine and the approach of it, I guess we don't have much time to introduce it in all that it entails. But in traditional Chinese medicine, different to Western medicine, which is one in which using the Cartesian philosophy of dividing the body, specializing the body into different parts, traditional Chinese medicine is a holistic type of thing. We take the body as a whole. We take man as part of nature. As such, and especially when we come to the diagnosing of things, every individual is different. Cause my headache is substantially different to what we'll call your headache or anybody else's headache. So we have to go into the history of the individual.
Okay.
And understand the symptoms and other things like that. When we are doing an intake, we look at the history. We look at the face, we look at the skin, we look at the tongue, we take the pulse, and these are all specialized things that gives us an idea of the imbalances that is taking place within the body. When we correct imbalances, we experience it as a feeling of well-being. That's the difference.
So what, I got to ask you, let me ask you one more thing about this, because
yes.
I do hear what you're saying. I know that Dr. Ramadan's on the line. He's a doctor. He deals with it from a medical perspective. You're dealing with it as an herbalist, and I understand that you're, but I'm asking, and I need a yes or no on this, and I do.
Okay.
Should we generally believe that we have parasites in our body?
I still would want to put it down to the symptomology.
Okay, then. All right.
I still would want to put it to the symptomology.
Okay, so.
I wouldn't want to tell everybody. But here is the thing. Every one of us, each and every one of us, on our own volition, should fast and have a cleanse in and out as periodically as it allows.
Okay.
Because prevention is better than cure.
Yes. Okay, let's answer a couple of questions, and then I need you to tell us, would you be able to tell us what a good cleanse is?
What a good cleanse is.
Wait, before you answer that, I'm obligated to ask some of the questions on the chat. And I'm not going to rush you through this. So tell us about CMOS. Is CMOS something good?
Oh, very good.
Hmm.
I'm never without it.
How do you?
I'm not going to pay the exorbitant money people are paying for it. I grew up with that.
How do you use CMOS?
How do I use CMOS? Well, you get this what they call the CMOS itself, which is actually a plant that grows in the ocean.
Right.
Bear in mind, we came out of the ocean. We have all the constituents within us of the ocean. The plant that grows there, that they use for the sea moss, is part of what nature provides for us. So how I do? You get it, you soak it overnight. You cut a lime and you put the lime in it. And you would notice it will hydrate, expand. And then you boil it until it becomes a gel. That gel, you can save it in the fridge or wherever, and then you blend it, depending on the individual. You add milk or whatever, cinnamon, nutmeg, couple of spices and stuff like that. And you drink it.
Okay. So CMOS is good.
It is good.
Okay, come on. Let's do a few more. What about black seed? What do you know about black seed?
Very good, too. The oil is very good. It acts as an anti-inflammation agent. So that, too, helps to take away pain. Because remember, what we are experiencing as pain, according to traditional Chinese medicine, is blockage in the energy flow of the body.
Mm.
Where these blockages tend to take place? In the joints. And where there is a narrowing of the flow of blood, whether it's going from the larger veins into the smaller veins and stuff like that. That's where you get blockages.
And does black seed deal with that?
Yes. It helps.
It helps.
It will help, yeah.
Okay. So with a good attitude about life, as Sister Sharon points out, that you talked about black seed, CMOS. You take CMOS daily?
To be honest, I don't take everything daily.
Okay.
I don't like to regiment.
Okay.
Myself. I always have it.
Okay. So the next question is, what helps nerve pain?
What helps nerve pain? That's a beautiful thing. Acupuncture does. Lately, I have been reading up and experimenting with light therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone? Yes. Blue and red infrared light. And this is interesting because a client of mine from way back in the 95 or things like that, she came to Chicago about 3 weeks ago or so. She hadn't seen me in some years, and she said, "Roy, I have to come to you to get a treatment." I said, "No problem." So she came, and we were talking, and something came up about neuropathy.
Mm.
And so I think somebody had called me on the phone, and they were mentioning neuropathy. And I told them, "Well, come on, let me see what I can do for them." And she said, "Oh, you know, there is this infrared treatment that works fine." She used it, and it works fine. And it just got me thinking, because I knew of it, but I've never did a study on it. And, yeah, infrared treatment is one for neuropathy. They are selling different aspects that you could put in different parts of your body. It's something worth trying, other than the acupuncture.
Let me ask you the next question. Do bitters help cleanse the body of parasites?
Bitters. Yep. Think about it. I don't know which one of them on the market. I remember there was one they called Tizan de Dubois. And that was one that was used frequently for cleansing the blood and cleansing the body.
Bitters?
Yes.
Okay. So you do realize that we need to have contact with you. Everyone on here, there's about 200 people on the line, and everyone. So, but let's continue, because
we're
going to put your contact information in. I mean,
sure.
We clearly understand that an ounce of prevention is worth a ton of cure.
All the time.
We understand how herbal medicine, I think everybody on here does or should understand how herbal medicine works hand in hand with traditional medicine. And so,
but let me say one thing on that.
Sure, go ahead.
We have all been conditioned for quick, instant help. Herbal medicine and herbs tend to work slower because you're trying to bring the body, your whole body, both mind, intellect, body, and spirit back into a cohesive alignment, without which good health will not prevail. You can't even, you know, I don't know how to say it. In my practice, a lot of times, I know, and I noticed this for many years, someone would come to me with all kind of condition, and I usually get into conversation and we will talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, 90% of the time, by the time I remind the person about, first and foremost, breathe properly. Most of us don't know how to breathe properly. I teach people how to breathe and what to do to breathe properly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? First and foremost, how you eat your food, how you chew your food. When I tell them, I say, you know, you got to chew your food until it's a liquid in your mouth before you swallow it. They say, we don't have time for that. I say, I understand. Because if you're on a job and they give you half an hour for meal, what can you do? Right?
Yeah.
But the chewing of the food in your mouth decreases certain enzymes that breaks down the food initially. It sends a signal to your brain. Your brain sends a signal to your stomach to release certain enzymes and acids so that the further decomposition of the food can take place. So the digestive process, which is separating, call it, I don't like to use good or bad, but the part of the food that your body needs for its repair and for its healing, to separate that from the part that it doesn't need that we pass out as waste. That is the fundamental reason for proper digestion. But we don't do that.
And so you should chew your food until it's liquid in your mouth.
Yes.
I'm going to start doing that. So let me ask you another question.
Well, let me make one other question. You talked about the that vegetable, the lettuce and stuff like that.
Yes.
The greener the vegetable, the more beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
You see all these iceberg letters and stuff like that? Stop wasting your money on that.
Mm.
What we need is the chlorophyll from the plants. That is what we need in order to assist the cells in our body. There's something called the ATP, which allows the cells in your body to release energy and stuff. It's on the more technical side of the stuff when you're breaking it down. And without that, we would eat what we want and never have proper energy.
Mm.
That is why we feel tired. We are not replacing the body's energy properly with the fuel it needs, which is the food.
And that's the green vegetables, the greener,
yes,
the better. Fruits.
Yes.
Fruits.
All fruits, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I come from a country where, you know, I don't like to complain, but here, what they call mango here, in Trinidad, we have 360 or more different types of mangoes. And almost every child could tell you, that is a mango Bear, this is a mango Julie, there's a mango Rose, there's a mango Lord, there's a mango Caliper, and they're all different.
Mm.
They all taste different.
No, it's important that you compare. I mean, you know, we need to understand that the food that we eat is the enemy to us, if in fact that it's not good for us. And so
that is true.
Yeah. So
unfortunately, that is true.
Well, it you know, knowledge is power. So someone asked, "Is what about garlic?"
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about anybody else. I do not cook without onion and garlic. If I don't have that, I postpone cooking until I can go and get it. And I cook for myself.
What are the benefits of cupping?
Oh, wonderful. Good question.
Hmm.
Well, and may I say, when I spoke about this guy, Doc Ali Bokas, I was a young man when I first learned cupping from him. I didn't have to go to school here to learn cupping. So what cupping does, it pulls stagnation and lactic acid that is secreted between in the fascia of the flesh and stuff like that. You could pull that more to the top in order for it to be expelled. Also stagnation, because, well, in Chinese medicine, we call it plum blossom, which is a hammer-shaped device that you tap on the skin, and it creates small, it penetrates the skin. You wouldn't obviously see blood flowing. But when you apply what we call the cupping, the fire cups as they call them, it pulls all of that out.
Mm.
So a lot of that lactic acid that tightens the muscles and on the lower surface, that helps bring it to the top and help your body get rid of it. And another form of Chinese medicine called gua sha, which is a scraping. Very uncomfortable, no pain, no gain, but it also does that. It brings what is in the fascia of the muscles and tissues to the top.
Mm.
So it could be expelled from the body.
So another point that Sister Kalila wants me to make is, she says, please mention diabetics are limited with fruit and dark leafy greens if on blood thinners. What do you say to that?
Well, that is the complication. That is the complication, because how we look at it from a Western point of view is a complex what is the right word? It is so complex, so intricate. Everything affects the next.
Mm.
Everything. So by the time you reach a point where through diet, environment, and all the toxicity we take in, that we have to have blood thinners.
Mm.
Let's say something, and, you know, I wanted to quote one more person that I met a couple of days ago in Aldi. I was looking at this person moving around, filling her basket and moving quickly and all of that. And I know she was elderly, but I'm looking at her. She ended up just in front of me. And after I checked out, I went to say, excuse me, I hope you don't feel annoyed or anything like that. I was looking at you and the way you're moving and think. If I ask you what you think about aging, what would you say? Immediately she said, two B's. She said, it's a blessing.
Mm.
And then she said, secondly, the second B though, is because the lack proper medical attention and service to elderly folks. This lack of the socioeconomic way of planning for people as they get older. Those were the two major things she said. And then she said, by the way, I'm 75 years old. I said, wonderful, wonderful. So I said that to say, movement, we're talking about aging, movement is important. Why movement? Because whether it's exercise or movement, whenever we see or we used to see pictures of people in China, what would we see? We would see groups of people at different time of the day doing what? Tai Chi.
Uh-huh.
Gentle movements, etc. What does that movement do? The movement creates two things in the brain. It creates serotonin, tuning, and but those two things, what they do, they give you a sense of well-being.
Mm.
And I'm trying to remember the other one now immediately. Dopamine. Dopamine and serotonin. Dopamine gives you a sense of feeling happy, well-being, satisfaction, a sense of achievement. And remember, these are all part of the mind. The serotonin gives us a feeling of happiness. And it all comes as a result of movement.
Mm.
Because movement is a representation of life and living. Mm-hmm. So no matter what age we are, we get up, we walk, especially if we can get up early in the morning and get the first rays of the sun.
Mm.
Those are the things that add to the health profile that we have.
I got to go on to the next question.
Okay.
Soaking in Epsom salt.
Very
does
good.
Does it remove toxins?
Yes, I recommend it a lot.
Mm. So
remember, we could remove a lot of toxicity through the soles of our feet. And one of the things we don't do anymore is walk bare feet on the earth.
Mm.
We have been isolated from Mother Nature. We don't walk on the earth anymore. Even the magnetic qualities that the earth give us, we insulate ourselves against it.
Mm. I love this. I mean, and believe me, I'm taking all of this advice and I'm doing something about it. I just made it to 3 miles at 7:30 in the morning. I go to the park and I walk. I just made it to 3 miles. And I'm so, and this is all from learning from people like yourself and other people that have been on Study Al Islam.
Just think about it. When you put things aside out of your mind and you step outside on the grass, isn't there a different feeling that you get?
It is. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not
that tells you.
Yes.
That tells you. It's a sense of freedom, a sense of connectedness. That's where it is. But we don't do it.
We're getting back to it, though. I mean, I must
hopefully
admit that more people are listening to people like yourself, listening to people like Dr. Ramadan, listening to Dr. Constance, listening to our scholars in the medical field who are and reading How to Eat the Live Again. I don't know if you know about that book, but Janab Elijah Muhammad, may he be in the highest place in paradise, told us a long time ago about how to live and all of what you are saying. I want to go on because we do have to close in a minute. I got to ask you this question about vitamins.
Sure. Go ahead.
I just a blood test, and my doctor told me I had too much D in my blood. And so
too much what?
Too much of something I had in my blood.
On the question of the vitamin D, I remember an incident took place about 15 or so years ago. There was a African-American doctor who was speaking on CNN, and at the time he said correctly, those of us who live in this temperate region of African descent are deficient in vitamin D and needs at least 60,000 milligrams. Well, he didn't last on CNN much after that, but it was something that caught my mind. Only now are medical doctors even talking about vitamin D. Only now they're starting to talk about it. And as usual, they are prescribing it, but in rather low doses, 60,000 milligrams whenever I'm taking it. Not a 200, not even a 2,000 or 4,000. I get 60,000.
How much?
60,000.
60,000 of vitamin D a day?
I don't take it every day.
That's what I want to ask you. Should you be taking vitamins every day? The same vitamins every day?
Well, it's a couple of things about vitamins. To begin with, most over-the-counter vitamins doesn't work. What you do, you take it in, you spend your money, you take it in, and you urinate it out. And it's good for the plants and other stuff, but not useful to you. Because there are cofactors that takes place in your body. These vitamins have to be broken down into other things in order for the body to be able to absorb it. I have always more recommended vitamins in a liquid form rather than in the tablet form.
First of all, I want to apologize to everyone because it's 11:07. If you have to leave, please leave. This is being recorded. You can always listen to it. But I need to go on a little longer because I want to say that I have a dear sister, Sister Rashida from Newark, New Jersey. I hope I'm not getting myself in trouble. She sent me the vitamins I should take. There's no preservatives. There's no sugar. There's no additives in it. And it is liquid, except my vitamin C is in powder form. But it tastes so bad, but it is. She really, and anybody that wants to know these things, you could just write me. I'll send them to you. But let me ask you this about vitamins. If you're eating properly, having a good attitude, exercising, walking, whatever the case may be, because I don't walk fast, but I walk constant.
That's fine. Well, you don't have to walk fast.
And then you don't have to take vitamins every single day. So you say you take 60,000 vitamins, 60,000
milligrams. I had noticed over time, living here in Chicago, that I was developing what home we used to call liver spots over time. But since I started taking that, I noticed the discoloration has changed tremendously. So I know it's doing something for me, right? For vitamin C, guavas, very good source. There's a type, well, I don't know if you'll get that yet, a particular type of cherries that we have home. They are very high in vitamin C too. And getting it from the fruit, oranges too have vitamin C, is a lot better. Limes have vitamin C, stuff like that. It's much better than having to take it in a tablet form.
And the other thing is that, and again, this is what I've learned. I don't take a multivitamin. My vitamins are all individual. I mean, these are things that I'm studying and learning because of people like you.
Right.
People like Dr. Ramada. Because of people like Dr. Constance, I'm learning. So I don't take a multivitamin. My vitamins are individual, and it tells me how many, you know, what to take. And rather than take a multivitamin that has all this stuff in it, I don't do that anymore, and I do take liquid vitamins. So I want to end on this note. Okay, what about, wait a minute, comments on seedless fruit. What someone is asking about that.
Well, that's an interesting question because there is the school of thought that the seed is what gives the vitality to the fruit because it's through the seed the fruit reproduces. But again, we get lulled into a lot of stuff. People don't like to have to spit out the seed, the watermelon. I mean, when I hear things, I just shake my head and think, well, what's next? Just lie down and let them just pour food in your mouth? What's next? What are we going to do for ourselves? We're doing less and less. So, yes, the fruit of the seed has more vitality because of what the potency of the seed as a methods of reproduction.
Before we go, two things. If there's any more questions, please put your questions in now before we let the doctor go. But there's two things that I do want to address. One is shingles. After having shingles, I didn't pay any attention to my doctor telling me to have the shot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can see, I am still trying to get rid of it. And
I see that, yes.
And I'm asking you, doctor, right now for help because I can't stop itching. It's been over 3 months.
I will get back.
Before you say anything, people should take the shingles shot.
I would say that. You know, at a particular age, all this talk about vaccine and don't want vaccine, and I am at pains to remind people there was a time when they had something called polio. Most of us don't know of that anymore.
Right.
Okay? There were other things, you know, smallpox and other things. So vaccine is something that came along that, you know, simple thing as the flu wiped out millions of people at one time. The bubonic plague, all these things. As human beings, we have faced nature and survived this far constantly. There has been more viruses on this earth than human beings. They have been there from the beginning. And it's something we will continue to face and fight, deal with. So yes, take the vaccine. Depending on where you are, take the pneumonia vaccine. Because I've had to treat people with walking pneumonia because they simply didn't know they had pneumonia. They think it as a benign cold, and you could drop down and die. You know, and pneumonia is a very serious situation to have to deal with.
One more question. Someone is saying, please help, gout. How do we deal with gout?
Oh boy, very painful situation, especially with you have to stay away from acids to start with, and things that are acidic in nature, and try to get the pH of the body back down to be more alkaline than acidic. Changes in the diet, emphasis on more alkaline type foods.
What foods are the most dangerous to us that we eat? What would you say to that?
You know, I'll be honest with you. It's not so much what we eat, but the overindulgence.
Okay.
The overindulgence. I remember the first time I came to Chicago and I had some friends and they invited me out and they said, Raul, try the New York steak or something like that. But I saw one person order the steak and the steak was bigger than the plate. I said, nah. You expect me to eat all of that now? Nah, I can't go for that. And then even I don't eat much meat. I'm more into the fish, some poultry, and a little meat, not much. No pork or anything like that from a long time. So that's just me. You know, you try to balance.
But what about apple cider vinegar?
Very good. That's very good. Because that is more on the alkaline side. Anything that counters the acidity in your body, because most of what people diet on, that is eat constantly, tends to produce more acid in the body. It changes the pH of the body.
So apple cider vinegar, lemon, fresh lemon juice, lime juice, things like that.
Yeah.
Water with high pH factors in it, those kinds of things.
Yes, they are noteworthy and should be taken in. Like I say, you know, everything don't have to be a religion,
right.
But we have to be consciously aware and get back in touch with our body.
Mm.
That's a key, getting back in touch with our body. I find myself extremely sensitive. There are certain things, if I put it on my skin, I get a response. I taste it. That's the end of that. I'm not going to use that product anymore. Get back in touch with your body. You know, most times, and this is just as a roundup, in traditional Chinese medicine, we kind of look at it, since everything is about a balance, the mind, the intellect, the spirituality, the physicality. When one, we are such a beautiful designed system that even when one of our system is not working optimally, the other systems try to work to compensate. Most times we have an inkling that we're just not feeling right, but we can't put our fingers up. It is only when we ignore it long enough and it has compromised two of the other systems that we begin to sense and know, you know what, I ain't feeling right, something not quite right, maybe I need to see someone. And some of us even ignore that. Up until the point that it becomes such that we just have to do something about it. Most times, we have changed that balance. Most times, that's when you're going to your doctor. That's when you go to the doctor, the chiropractor, the whoever, and when none of that works, the last person you're coming to is the acupuncturist and the herbalist. We are usually the very last on the list in terms of that. By which time, the road up the mountain is a little steeper. Not impossible, just a little steeper.
Okay, so someone is asking, can you get shingles more than once? I can answer absolutely yes.
Yes, you could. Because the virus is still in your body.
Yes. So get the shot. Get the shot. I can't scream that enough. Get the shot. Dr. Constance is saying avoid processed orange juice. Most orange juice is separated and reconstituted.
Correct.
Yeah. She's on
you
the
want, get the orange.
Yes. Yeah.
Get your orange and stuff like that, and you know, we don't even have time to peel an orange. We rather drink it from a bottle.
But we're getting back to that. So, Brother Raul, please.
And not only that, when you get your orange and you peel your orange, hang the peel up to dry.
Ah. And do what? And do what with it?
To do what with it? At the first sign of a cold, or what we call a cold or anything like that, a little orange peel with a little pinch of garlic goes a long way in preventing it.
Wow. So do you eat it? I got to let you go. I'm taking such advantage of you. I am so sorry. I do apologize. But this is so important because we all know that we're going to transition. We know that.
Oh, yes.
But we do it healthy. Do I need to suffer?
Of course. This is one trip we're not coming out of alive. We know that.
But we don't have to suffer.
No, not at all. Not at all.
That's right. And that's what we're trying to prevent today. Brother Raul, please give us your email so Marcia can put it in the chat. And I will give us your email so because there's a few people on here that need to become your patient.
Okay.
Including me.
I don't know if anybody, you could see this at all?
No, just say it. Oh, good. No, put that out. No, we can't see it. Okay,
see
there it is. No. Go back the other way. Go back the other way.
This way?
Okay, hold it right there.
Okay.
773-793-8562. Don't move it. 773-793-8562. And then
tell them please leave a message if they didn't get an answer. And let me know who it is.
So you can reach
and
out.
And the email.
Sorry. Go ahead, Brother Raul.
Yeah, and the email. Go ahead.
So you can reach out to Brother Raul. Now he is your doctor as well as he is mine because he is helping me with my shingles. And I can't express to this group that's on here, you need to take the shingles shot if you haven't taken it. If you're over 50, go take that shot because I'm telling you, people, there's some horrific stories about catching shingles.
Oh, yes. It's very debilitating, and it could last for a long, long time.
You can take that down now. I've had it 3 months, and I can't get rid of the itch. I can't get rid of it.
1 minute, I want to show you this.
So we're going to let Brother Raul go because I've taken full advantage of him. Yes. Anti-Aging Manual, the encyclopedia.
Yep.
Keep that up. Marsha, can you put that in the chat, please? Anti-Aging Manual, the Encyclopedia of Natural Health. Anti-aging, the author is Joseph P. Marion. P. Marion.
That's what we have knowledge for sharing.
I'm going to get that. Although I'm going to tell you, I'm doing good. I'm taking all good advice. I'm using it. Thank you.
No problem.
First of all, I want to say thank you to Dr. Constance and for recommending you. I want to say thank you to our health consortium with Dr. Ramadan on the line. I don't think there's anything we would give more than to have good health. I think that's the one thing that we would give all our money to is to have
good health. That's correct. Yep.
So I want to say thank you. And forgive me for taking advantage of you.
You didn't take advantage of me. Not at all.
Oh, thank you.
Not when it comes to sharing a little knowledge and stuff like that. That's no.
Let me give you the last word. What would you like to say? That orange peeling is a good. So just set the orange peeling somewhere and let it dry.
Yes. Yeah. Just hang it up. That's all.
I don't have anything to hang it up on now, Doctor.
Well,
no. I'm only joking. A little humor. But so do you boil it?
No, you just draw it. Like if you're drawing a cup of tea or something like that, you make a cup of tea, you know, and you do that. I'm trying to remember
Do you use some honey in it? Is honey good?
Yeah, honey is okay.
Okay.
Everything is good in terms of just a little. We don't overdo anything, you know.
Okay. Right.
You know, it's come like how my grandmother taught me in cooking, and she said, if you're tasting the salt, you have too much in the pot.
Well, thank you. There are no more questions. I guess people will be calling you. So we're going to call
out.
It's 11:26. I really want to say thank you. We have to get you back. But thank you so very much for sharing this information. And I think if we don't walk away with anything else, we need to walk away with try to be happier, positive attitude, walk, exercise, food, green leafy vegetables, some fruit if you can, and read how to eat to live again. That's what you do.
Sure. And please take time to breathe properly.
Breathe. Someone just told us that. Sister Sharon just told us, Breathing is important.
Breathing, of course. That's the key.
And chew your food until it's liquid.
Yep.
Thank you. Can we close out in prayer, Imam Sharif, please? Thank you, Brother Raul. Thank you for coming on Study Al-Islam and sharing your wealth of information with
us.
My
pleasure. It's been my pleasure. Thank you very much.
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين
آمين. Thank you everyone, and I'm off to do my walk. No excuses.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Almighty God, Allah. We are grateful for the wonderful guest that our beloved sister, Fitra Muhammad, had on the Study Al-Islam, Dr. Raul. Praise be to offering us alternative forms of treatment, treating ourselves, herbal medicine and acupuncture, and also eating directly from the earth, connecting with the earth that led to our birth. Praise be to Allah. Is there anyone that have any statements that they would like to share? I ask that you press one on your phone. We only have a few moments of broadcast time left. If so, press one on the phone. Okay. I want to share with you a scheduling update, inshallah. This evening, we invite you to dial back into American Muslim 360 for the broadcast of Keeping It Real. Let's talk about it. And the host is Lou Princess Aziz. And she is on the subject of our mental health, executive thinking, very insightful, very rewarding broadcast. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. And then stay tuned for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wadih Siddin Muhammad. Let me share with you a public service announcement concerning that broadcast. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wadih Siddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Wadih Siddin Muhammad here on American Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
All praise is due to Almighty God, Allah. We are grateful to be on the airways of American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, and sharing with you every Sunday morning the broadcast Study Al-Islam. Praise be to Almighty God for that. We are grateful for every one's presence. Praise be to Almighty God. And we came to you this morning with the greetings of peace. We leave you this morning with the greetings of peace in the Quranic Arabic language of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. May we purify our intentions, keep our hearts right, remain forever regardful of Almighty God, Allah, and be grateful and thankful for what Allah has done for us, what he is doing for us, and what he shall do for us. Almighty God, ask of the whole of humanity from out of the Surah Rahman. Allah asked this question. Which of the two favors of your Lord will you deny? We must remain thankful and grateful and regardful of our Creator. I bring you now the voice of Abdul Rahman Hatem. We got to be thankful.
Early in the morning, sailing in prayer, seven fresh fruit coffee as I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls to keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright, do
the best that I can, try and make a difference, 'cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
gotta be grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends I've left forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy who lives down the street who wants to grow to be a man, but life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He said, "Mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand?" Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, "You gotta be alright, you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
you gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to Cubs, and I say the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright, they gotta do the best that they can. Try and make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful,
gotta
friend that lasts forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and their children and their wives.
Alhamdulillah, I would like to invite you to tune back into America Muslim 360 following this broadcast for the United Talim from out of St. Petersburg, Florida. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. We leave you with the greetings of peace, of assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. Assalamu alaikum.